This meeting is now being recorded.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the new GCLG Subsequent Procedures Subteam Track 2, Legal Regulatory Issues, held on the 12th of January, 2017. In the interest of time, there'll be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room only. If you are only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourselves be known now? Hearing no names, I would like to remind all to please state your name before speaking for recording purposes, and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I'll turn it back over to our co-chair, Michael Fleming. Please begin.
Good morning, everyone. It is 5 a.m. here in Japan, and I feel refreshed. Must be a blessing for this morning. Thank you very much for attending this week's meeting of the Work Card 2 Legal Regulatory Area. This is going to be our one meeting for this month, so I want to make sure we can try to get as much information done, as much done as possible. Phil, could you please mute the mic until we switch over to you? Not hearing my echo. Okay, thank you. That sounds good. So let's make this one a good meeting, and then we're going to try to concentrate over on the heart of the material for registrant protections over email following this. But let's follow up on that at the end of the meeting. First of all, well, we've had our welcome and admin for today. Does anyone have an updated SOI? Speak now or forever hold your peace. And with that, we have no updated SOIs. Okay. The next one we'll be finishing up the reserved names. We got about six or seven or a few more of those to go, and then I'll be switching over to Phil for the registrant protections, and this week we'll be doing an introduction into EBRO as well as the COI. And looking and then past that, we'll look at other registrant protections that we'll need to be doing. And any other business. Does anyone have any other business that they would like to bring up today? No? Okay. I like the sounds of that. All right, so let's move over into the reserved names. So we still need to cover the following that are listed here. I'm actually going over to ask Steve to switch over to the chart that we've been using. Hold on a second. We're going to have to zoom in here pretty good. Let's see here. Please excuse my time I'm taking to look at these. Okay. Last time we stopped at Nick, who is WWW. We finished up with that. And then we stopped just before geographic and political, so let's pick up from there. So, Terry, thank you. Everyone can scroll themselves freely on the chart here. On the policy side of geographic and political, the consensus view is the group was that given the lack of any established international law on the subject, that it would be actually very conflicting to establish any rules in regards to this. Specifically speaking, in the 2004 round, there weren't specific rules in regards to this for .net, .org, .biz, and .info. In the 2004 round, there weren't specific rules in regards to this, and that basically policy should be harmonized with .com, .net, .org, .biz, and .info. Except the only exception to this consensus recommendation is that registries incorporated organized under countries that require additional protection for geographical identifiers. In any such instance, the registry would have to incorporate appropriate mechanisms to comply with their national and local laws. For those registries incorporated, organized under the laws of those countries that have expressly supported the guidelines of the WIPO Standing Committee on the Law of Trademarks, Industrial Designs, and Geographical Indications as adopted by the WIPO General Assembly, it is strongly recommended but not mandated that these registries take appropriate action to promptly implement protections that are in line with those WIPO guidelines and are in accordance with the relevant national laws of the applicable member state. So this is what was put out in policy originally, and then within the applicant guidebook, it was established that country and territory names, including their ID variants where applicable, contained in the following international recognized list shall be held from registration or allocated to registry operator at all levels. This includes the short form list of all country and territory names and the ISO 31661 list, the United Nations of Groups of Expert on Geographic Names Technical Reference Manual, including the specific section, and then the list of United Nations member states and the six official United Nations languages prepared by the Working Group on Country Names of the United States Nations Conference on the Standardization of Geographical Names. So, within this, we basically have the short form as well as the United Nations Technical Reference Manual, as well as any applicable IDNs, I think is a good way to summarize it. But in other words, from what the applicant guidebook established, it did create those reservations. And currently, the only authorization process that has been established, there have been many registries that have actually applied for the authorization of the release of country and territory names through the use of RCEP. This has been pointed out by many that this is probably not the most applicable process for applying for that release. I know that there were a lot of brands that have been applying for it. However, that process itself has been kind of on hold. In the meantime, the GAC has taken the initiative of publishing a list of country and territory names that can be released. This is basically the country itself, the government of the country itself has actually said it doesn't have a problem, and it indicates whether a brand or any TLD can freely use that country name. I think there's about 16 or so in there. In this instance, we need to discuss whether or not we would take any changes to policy. Considering that the applicant guidebook itself actually lists the reservations and the policy itself does not, I think it would be, if we view that we should not, for example, have the reservations, we should reiterate what the policy says, as well as emphasize that we feel that in future rounds we shouldn't have it, in future subsequent procedures, I didn't say rounds, if we do not feel this is the consensus, then perhaps we should actually change policy to be applicable with the applicant guidebook. In my own personal view, I do not feel that would be a good idea, but is there any takers on want to discuss this? Cheryl, please go ahead.
Thank you, Michael. And I'm taking the floor, Cheryl Langdon, off the record, I'm taking the floor, even though I would have on this topic anyway, but in particular because what I don't see in today's core attendee list is people like Heather and Annabeth, or indeed many, if any, others, Phil's probably an exception there, who've been actively involved in either the most recent use of GEO names as GTLD's cross-community working group, or the predecessor CCNSO managed study group. And I'm afraid I'm also not seeing a plethora of GAC. Not wishing to speak actually on behalf of all of those people, but speaking highly biased because of an awful lot of years having worked with them, I would like to suggest that any change to policy should actually be considered to be in line with the applicant guidebook and its specific lists of reservations, and also to note the current listing from GAC of names with country approval, and somehow, note that very open word there, somehow ensure that that list can be added to in a very easy way. It's quite likely, for example, that a number of potential applicants can work quite directly with the governments of the particular GEO name that they might be passionately interested in. And I think because GAC has already come out with, you know, as I think you said, 16 or so names, that's a list that I could see quite reasonably being expanded. I really want to caution you all to hasten slowly on this. And that is not only because of my vested interest and having heard the deep concerns from GAC and CCs over almost now 8 years of work on this now, this particular issue, the GEO names issue, but also that I can assure you there would be a consumer reaction as well. So we would need to recognise that other than that sort of change, without a specific and fairly fulsome PDP process on that topic, and that's okay too if we want to recommend that, recommend a, you know, hale and hearty PDP just in this aspect, that's fine. But I would be deeply concerned that this would become a significant roadblock, and that would be a thing that would affect all names. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. I just wanted to, Susan Payne and asked for the, asked over the chat whether or not we're dealing with the second level, and I just wanted to reiterate that yes, we are dealing with the second level at this point. Jeff, you also have your hand raised. Would you please go ahead?
Yes, thank you. Sorry, I have to take my name off, microphone off mute. This is Jeff Newman, and first, I think, Michael, thanks for pointing that out. We are talking about the second level. We're not talking about the top level. So with due respect to and to Annabeth, who are working on the group that deals with the top level, although there may be some similar issues, I'm not sure that it actually would be great to have their input. But it's not, we don't have to ask them, but it would be great to get their view of the discussions that have in place and if any have taken place for the second level. But that said, I think at a very minimum, we should agree on this call that the 2009 policy recommendation, either we decide, yes, we're going to stand by this no matter what, or we need to decide that, look, there's obviously a gap here between 2009 and what happened in the guidebook. And I would say the guidebook was revised numerous times. But I think if we take it apart, there's a couple of questions and decisions we need to make. Number one is we need to agree or confirm our agreement with the policy on geopolitical names, which are not geographic names necessarily, but those were more the controversial names that were considered back in the, or some of them were controversial names, back in the 2009 timeframe. So we should confirm at least our understanding that going forward, we will only deal with country and territory names, and anything potentially outside of country and territory names, we're not going to say that any of those should be reserved. Then we should take apart the guidebook recommendations to talk individually about, okay, if country and territory names are protected, you know, are we starting from the base of the lists that were referred to in the guidebook? Because, again, that was not in the policy. That was something that ICANN staff came up with. And in that scenario, when Cheryl said, well, we got to leave some flexibility for additional names, if we stick to the list, the flexibility would only apply to those official lists and not any other negotiation between the government and ICANN. So there's a lot of sub-decisions that need to be made with respect to this particular category, but at a minimum, I think we should express whether we feel like the 2009 policy needs to be updated and agree on that. And if we agree on that, perhaps the creation of a separate, smaller drafting team to work specifically on these types of issues to come back and maybe make a recommendation to the full work track on what we should do about geographic names. Thanks. Michael, you may be on mute. We can't hear you if you're joining.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I was speaking, but I couldn't. I'm sorry. I just wanted to raise my own hand and speak out as well. So not in co-chair capacity, but in my personal capacity. Personally, for the policy, I am strongly of the opinion that we do not change this, mainly for the reason that I'm wearing my brand hat now. So, mainly for the reason of brands, it's within restricted or mostly closed TLD. I do not see why, the reserve names would, or at least restrictions in regards to country names or geographical names would have any, necessity to be, to be imposed on closed registries. So I would very much not to fight Cheryl's opinion, but she did make sure to note that's not her personal opinion, but she's not anti on lowering the level, releasing the restrictions on lower level names. But that is my opinion. Does anyone else have anything to add in regards to this subject? Jeff Newman, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. I just want to ask a clarification on your view. So is it your view that the 2009, just so you understand, the 2009 policy should replace what's in the guidebook at least for brands? Is that what you're saying? Or are you saying, just want to make sure I understand the view.
I am of the opinion that we do not need, well, overall, I don't feel that we need to have restrictions on this for any TLD, but especially in regards to brand TLDs. I think harmonization with .com and .net should be the way to go in regards to this. So, yes, that, if we can make even a clarification in regards to that as far as what policy should state, then I think that would be beneficial.
Okay, thanks. This is Jeff Newman. I sympathize with that view. I think this is an extremely important topic. It would be great to have other people weigh in, but at a very minimum, I would say that this is probably a good issue for a smaller drafting team to consider, because There's a lot of sub-issues, and I think we need to make sure that we handle this one pretty carefully. And not that many people are weighing in on this call, either in chat or by voice. But it's actually kind of a shame, because when it comes down to, I know at ICANN meetings, there are plenty of people that jump into this debate. So if you have any thoughts, please, either on the chat or in the, or raise your hand, say something. We'll also put out notes and ask for further opinion, but this is one of those fairly controversial areas.
Thank you, Jeff. I'm not seeing many people jumping on the poll here, but everyone does seem to be in support of a drafting team. What we will do is we'll take this as an action item, but to send out maybe call for volunteers, or we'll take it back in the leadership team to decide to look at how we'll jump into that. But I think there's plenty of support in regards to the drafting team, but we'll take it back and then look at how. Alan, please go ahead.
I'm just going to ask if you're planning to have people on the drafting team from the GAC.
That would very much be my consideration. It's just been a few seconds since we've had the discussion, that would definitely be the idea.
All I'm trying to say is if you have a drafting team come up with a recommendation without any input.
Of course.
I don't think it's going to fly it really well.
Of course. So it would be our intention to have Jack policy input as well. Jeff, please go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, when we issue a call for a smaller drafting team, unfortunately, all we have the power of is inviting those that are within the overall working group. So we can invite the GAC members that are on the list, and I'll commit to specifically reaching out to them. Of course, if any GAC member wants to join the overall working group, they can join the drafting team as well. So it's open to all, like any drafting team. I will make sure I reach out to Tom, at least, if he's not on this call already. But I will reach out to Tom and make sure that he is aware of this, and that the GAC representative who's dealing with geographic issues is also aware of this. So it's open. Unfortunately, we can only issue a call for drafting team members amongst working group members, but ultimately I don't see that as a huge issue.
All right, thank you, Jeff. I'm going to jump into the next category. It is 26 past the hour, and we've got a lot to go. Next category is, if I'm not mistaken, GTLD reserve names. So this is in regards to reserving the GTLDs in other new GTLDs. So to say that in a clearer way, basically, if I have a TDLD, then that name will be blocked in all other new GTLDs my GTLD name will be blocked in all other new GTLDs. At least that's my understanding of it. And the policy here was that, absent justification for any user confusion, this recommendation should no longer be applicable due to the massive number of strings that will be introduced. At this point, this was adopted in the 2012 round, as far as the applicant guidebook is concerned. Does anyone have any different opinions about this in regards to whether we should change policy or we should leave it as is? No takers? Let's confirm the 2009 policy on this. Okay, so the 2009 policy says that absent... Jeff, are you referring to the GTLD reserve names?
Yes, I'm referring to Well, actually, on GTLD reserved and the same for the next controversial names as well. But yeah.
Okay. All right. Then let me just go ahead and read it as is. Then, absent justification for user confusion, the recommendation is that GTLD strings should no longer be reserved from registration for new GTLDs at the second or, when applicable, at the third level. Applicants for new GTLDs should take into consideration possible abusive or confusing uses of existing GTLD strings at the second level of their corresponding GTLD based on the nature of their GTLD when developing the startup process for their GTLD. Susan, please go ahead.
Hi, yes. Oh, dear.
Would you like to try again?
Right. I think I fixed it. Can you still hear me?
Sounds good. Yeah, I hear you without the echo, so
okay.
Please go ahead.
Sorry. Sorry about that, everyone. Apologies. I think I might be asking a stupid question, but I wonder if someone could clarify what this is saying. In relation to the last round, was it effectively saying there should be no restriction on com dot whatever the TLD is or net dot whatever the TLD is? And that was what was carried forward. I just want to make sure I'm understanding what was previously reserved and what was subsequently agreed shouldn't need to be. Thanks.
Thanks, Susan. That is my understanding of it, that GTLD should not be reserved from within other new GTLD, from within other GTLDs. Jeff, if you have a clarification, please go ahead.
Yeah, so in 2001, when .biz was signed and when .info was signed, and then into the next, the seven TLDs at that point, and then the sponsored TLDs shortly after, we were all required, well, when I was part of Neustar, they were required to reserve .com, .net, .org, .biz, .org.info, .com.info, all of those were required, .travel.info, all of those others, .biz.travel, those were all required to be reserved because of, quote, confusion. Everyone agreed that there would be no such confusion in the future and that it would be impossible to reserve those GTLD strings. So, yeah, essentially, Susan, that's exactly what we're talking about.
Thank you, Jeff. Rubens has somebody's not muting their microphone. Susan, please go ahead.
Okay, then. In which case, thanks very much for that clarification. That's really helpful. In an environment where we're not talking about a handful of TLDs, but we're talking about somewhere in the region of 1,200 odd, I don't see how one could possibly now reserve those names that match the top level strings at the second level. It seems completely impossible, I would have suggested. And in fact, I don't know how you would do it. But so it's not a very technical answer, but it just seems to me that this ship has sailed, hasn't it?
I would, personal capacity, again, I would like to say, I would agree with Susan at this. Originally, policy was not looking at having 1,200 new names to be introduced, but I think clarification, or at least an addition into policy saying, with so many numbers, how can one even imagine, basically, with so many reservations, it would be very difficult for registries to implement such policy. Jeff and then Alan, please go ahead.
Yeah, so, and that was recognized in 2009. Sorry, this is Jeff Newman. So the response is, yes, we want to confirm the 2009 policy, which says there should be no reservation. Right? That's what we're saying. Confirm the 2009 policy.
Yes. So, oh, please, Al.
Thank you. Someone said it would be difficult. It's not difficult. It's impossible. It means that as you deploy each new TLD, you would have to go back to all the others and say, that's now a forbidden name, and what do you do with it if it was already registered? So I think essentially it is impossible because of the expanding list of TLDs. So I just don't think it's a question. I'm done. Have I stunned everyone? Apparently. Or have we lost our chair?
Michael, are you still around? Can we see what the audio issues are with Michael? It looks like he's trying to talk, but I cannot hear Michael now.
Correct.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I was speaking, and Alan's conversation was very sorry. Please. I think we're in a very we're all in the same heading on the same area in this as far as opinions. I don't feel the need to drag this out unless anybody has anything different to say. Does anyone have any different opinion? No? Can we call a consensus call on this? No, I'm just kidding, of course. No. Conclusions will be made until later on. But let's keep moving on then. Next we have controversial names. Hopefully this won't be a controversial issue. Okay, I know that wasn't funny at all, but it's 5 a.m. over here and you have to give me some credit. So the policy states that there should not be a category of controversial names that are reserved. Should be a dispute policy, but make sure freedom of expression is preserved. And then, in the applicant guidebook, no such category at second and third levels. I'd be interested in exploring that, should be dispute policy, because I have not seen any such mechanism deployed. Oh, wait, perhaps there is. Perhaps there might be a second level dispute policy that would deal with this, but I don't think specifically in regards to something that's controversial. As in the name being controversial, I don't think there's a specific dispute policy, but I think some of the dispute policies might be able to briefly touch on it. Jeff, please go ahead.
Thanks. This is Jeff Newman. I think you're right. I probably should put in the chart that no dispute policy mandated by ICANN. I think right now registries are left to their own devices in order to, if they want to adopt specific rules on names that can and cannot be registered. So if we do want to confirm the 2009 policy, I would say that we edit it and agree there should not be a category of controversial names that are reserved, and then either remove that second part about the dispute policy or just state that registries can determine their own eligibility policies or something like that. But I'd rather just get rid of that second sentence. But if we don't want to just get rid of it, we could just say registries can determine the eligibility of the registrants in their own TLDs.
I 100% agree with you. I 100% agree with you. Can people hear me again?
Yes.
Okay, I just want to make sure. Alan, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. About the dispute policy, can I get some clarity on it? I'm not aware of any such dispute policy unless a particular registry has one. Is there anything wider than at a more global level than a particular registry?
No, Alan, I don't think there is. I think, Jeff, you're of the same opinion?
Yes. So the original thinking and the policy was that you shouldn't categorically you shouldn't create a category of controversial names, but originally I guess people thought that maybe there could be this global dispute policy. If someone felt names would be controversial, then it should be like a one-off decision and maybe criteria set. But since there was never created a category on controversial names, I guess it was never viewed important to create a global dispute policy. So you're right, Alan, there's never been a global dispute policy on this type of thing, and I don't think we should start that now. But registries, individual registries can say, you know, I don't want the seven, I'll just say this, you know, I don't want the seven dirty words in the United States. So let's say it's a U.S.-based TLD. They don't want the seven dirty words for whatever reason. They can make that rule with respect to their registry. And that could be a registry action as opposed to, or terms and conditions or acceptable use. But not, it would not be on a global level. Thanks.
And Jeff, what, just to be specific, what are those seven words? I'm just kidding. I didn't want to put you on the spot completely, but Alan, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Just a clarification, Jeff. Registries have that right without us putting anything in here at all. We don't have to give them that right. That's already, they already have that under some other auspices. Is that correct?
Yes. I mean, registries have the right to set their own eligibility criteria.
Okay.
And reservation of rights. So that's true. So my original recommendation was just get rid of that second part of the recommendation
given,
in 2000.
Given that, I'm agreeing.
I agree as well. Would anyone like to also like to touch upon this subject, or should we move on? I see lots of typing. Ruben says, Jeff, just type. I'm not going to read that. And Avery's typing. I'm not going to read that either. Okay, let's just get going on this one. Yes. Steve has kind of pointed out that we have a time check for registered protections. I know. It's. I was actually thinking we may not get up on this, but hopefully we're just going to try to introduce this today. But next we're going to jump into probably the least most controversial, the sarcasm for the IOC and the RCRC. Basically, nothing that was originally introduced in policy, but later on, due to GAC advice, due to GAC advice, I'm just going to read it because I can't, I guess 5 a.m. is getting to me. As instructed from time to time by ICANN, the names, including their ID and variants, where applicable, relating to the International Olympic Committee, International Red Cross, and Red Crescent Movements listed at listed at the following website, shall be withheld from registration or allocated to registry operator at the second level within the TLD. Additional International Olympic Committee, International Red Cross, and Red Crescent Movement names, including their ID and variants, may be addressed to the list upon 10 calendar days notice from ICANN to registry operator. Such names may not be activated in the DNS and may not be released for registration to any person or entity other than registry operator. Upon conclusion of registry operator's designation as operator of the registry for the TLD, with such all names withheld from registration, were allocated to registry operators shall be transfer as specified by ICANN. Registry effort may self-allocate and renew such names without use of an ICANN-accredited registrar, which will not be considered transactions for purpose of Section 6.1 of the agreement. And after reading that very long wording, I think it can be... Yes, Steve is pointing out that this is from reading directly from the registry agreement. But in other words, originally in policy, we did not have any reservations in regards to the International Olympic Committee or International Red Cross and Red Crescent Movement, but this was brought on later on. And I think it's important to note that until, I think there was discussion about ICANN for coming up with a release mechanism for this as well, but it is important to note that there's also, I think there's another working group or cross-community working group discussing the release mechanism in regards to this. I think that was recently in Hyderabad, but there was discussion on that recently in Hyderabad, but not a lot of updates or movement in regards to that were made. Wait, or that, or maybe there was not a lot of updates in regards to that were made in my understanding. Would anybody like Mary? You're typing. Alan, you've kindly raised your hand. Please go ahead.
The only recent thing I'm aware of, but I might have missed something, is the discussion that is still currently active between the board and the GAC and has been referred back to the GNSO on their reservation of country names for the Red Cross organizations, the names used within each country. That's the only thing that I recall in a recent discussion, but maybe I missed something.
Perhaps that's the OGOs I was thinking of then. But then, Susan, please go ahead.
Hi.
Susan?
I'm sorry. It took me a time to get off mute. I'm not one in favor of just kind of parking issues, but I wonder if this is one that we should kind of hold over, because it does seem like there was a great deal of work done. There are GNSO policy recommendations. They conflict with GAC advice. There's a whole, small group thing going on. And whilst it might need more policy work done, I wonder if, now is not the time for us to be spending our time looking at this whilst it's still a kind of open discussion from the previous round. I don't know. I'm happy for people to disagree with me, but it just seems like we run the risk of seriously duplicating other work.
So we should wait on other groups to move forward. Mary has pointed out that there's ongoing implementation of board-adopted GNSO PDP recommendations regarding a few names for the Red Cross movement and names of IGOs.
I'm
sorry, Mary, could I clarify? You say a few names for the Red Cross movement and names of IGOs. Does that not include all the names that were put into the list by ICANN? Alan, you still have
everybody.
Your...
This is Mary.
Mary, please go ahead.
This
sorry.
Is Mary from... Not at all. And without wishing to drag this out further, bearing in mind Susan's and Cheryl's comments, that basically what you have, I think everybody knows, is that you have this reserve list under Spec 5 of the registry agreement. Much of what is on that list today has been placed there on an interim basis pending further resolution, and that goes to what Alan was talking about. In terms of what is adopted policy, at the second level, for the Red Cross at the moment, it is just a few names such as Red Cross, Red Crystal, Red Lion and Sun, Red Crescent. So the point here is that list of names could change in the near future. And that if you look at the current list now that's linked to in this column, it shows a whole lot more than that. But a number of them are actually there on a temporary basis only. I hope this helps.
Thank you, Mary. It does. Alan and then Jeff, please.
Thank you. It's Alan Greenberg speaking. I spent a very significant part of my life and large number of hours on the work group which ended up adopting this. I have personal opinions on which of them are nice and when there should be there and which of them should never have been allowed, no matter how much people cried and weeped and whatever and pleaded. But it's there now. I don't want to relive that. I see no merit in reliving it. So leave it be. In terms of the country Olympic names, I think this is one of the dumbest discussions we are ever going to have, because if anyone wants to spam or do phishing register a name which will look like a country name, all they have to do is add a dash or something like that, and suddenly it is no longer reserved. So adding the country names is not going to protect the Red Cross, various Red Cross organizations. And it's not going to hurt anyone, because no one else is really going to be registering these names for legitimate purposes. But we insist on spending an infinite amount of time talking about it. I think we should minimize the amount of time we're talking about all of this and just accept it as reality and move on. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Jeff, please go ahead.
Yes, thanks. I'm not going to address what Alan said, although I share frustration. What I would say is for this category and for IGOs, that if reservations are to in place, we should explicitly in the policy state that there should also be a mechanism for the release of such names to those specific organizations. I think that is essential. It's causing some registries problems now, where in the case of, I know Donuts has said on the record that they have approval from the Olympic Committee for one or all of their TLDs, for the Olympic Committee to get their names in those TLDs. And ICANN staff has been kind of in limbo, because there's nothing that expressly allows those names to ever be released. I think that was an oversight. I think we should responsibly fix that oversight. So I'm not saying what names should be reserved. All I'm saying is, to the extent that names are reserved and they're reserved for specific entities, there should be a mechanism to allow for its release.
Susan, and then Alan.
I'd agree with what Jeff said. I'd actually add to that. I think another oversight is that there is no mechanism for release of those names if they have been reserved, when the body that is being protected by that reservation is actually consenting to the release. And that's, I believe, another oversight which ought to be addressed. But just in case anyone was unclear on what I was saying before, I wasn't saying necessarily that we shouldn't look at this at all. I was kind of saying maybe this is when we come back to if it hasn't been resolved in some other forum by the time we get back to it. I feel we could spend time talking about this and really we would just be wasting our time, because there are these other discussions going on currently to try and resolve the conflict between the recommendations that already exist.
Alan, please go ahead.
Thank you. I think what Jeff said, to allow release to the right people, is completely logical. For what it's worth, at the time the policy came out, they said they didn't care. Again, I'm not going to lose a lot of sleep over this. It wasn't an oversight. They explicitly said it's okay. So, makes no sense to me. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. I think we are of the opinion that we should leave this be for now, not touch up on it until we see some movement elsewhere. But does anyone really want to talk about this? And if you don't have those five reallys in there, then... No? Okay. Good. Thank you, everyone, for the discussion in regards to the Red Cross. And I'm just going to conclude that we discussed the IGOs as well because it's in the same bucket. We have 6 minutes left, and I would really appreciate if we could at least get a background introduction on registrant protections, and then discuss the question, the material, or at least discuss the questions over the mailing list. And Jeff is about to jump in and tell me that we should just skip it all together and say goodbye.
Yeah.
Jeff, please go ahead.
Michael, it's Phil here.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Mike. I just put a message in the chat saying that basically suggestion that we try and do a call next Thursday. Obviously, the week after is NamesCon, so we're cancelling all meetings that week, which would be our next time. So I don't know if everybody on the call, whether they'd be up for a call next Thursday, a week's time, same time. It would kind of,
I think
so we
didn't throw that out.
Crack on with it.
But,
Yeah,
we have to throw that out.
We put it out on mailing.
But Jeff, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. This is Jeff. We did skip two rows. We don't have to cover those on this call. We could save that for another time. But we do need to. There are two other categories of reserve names that we have not yet addressed, and one of those is the reservation of 100 names, the voluntary registration of 100 names, and then the voluntary reservation of additional names. And so we need to, from a policy perspective, either agree with that, not agree with that, whatever it is, we should have some discussions on that. Again, does not have to be today because we're getting to the end. And we could save it for a separate discussion because it may likely take a full hour session. But we should put that on the work list. Thanks. And I do agree that we should not start something new at this point.
Sorry, Jeff, in my excitement to move for registrant protections, then we were not able to jump on that. Alan and Susan, you had your hands up. Cheryl, I'm sorry. Cheryl, you're free to go.
Thanks, Michael. Rita 19th at the same time. I think it'll be well worthwhile because I think we need to, you know, continue on our role that we're on at the moment and get to the prep that Phil has. I just wanted to note that at least in my calendar, and who can tell if that's correct, we do have a leadership sync meeting at that time. Happy to move that to make sure this goes on, but staff needs to, you know, make that magic happen. I will just plead that they only move it back maybe 2 hours for obvious and selfish reasons, Michael, or run it an hour after this call next week. You probably would rather not be up at 3 a.m., I guess, so maybe we should plead for them to... move it later rather than earlier. That's it from me.
Thank you, Cheryl. I could do without the leadership sync at all. I mean, sorry, I didn't say that out loud. No, I could do without waking up at 5 and then being up till 7. I like that little hour nap between 6 and 7. But it seems that we have a pretty clear schedule. But Steve has his hand raised.
Thanks, Mike. This is Steve from staff, sorry. It seems that there is support to schedule a meeting next week. This slot next week seems to be open, but we can verify after the call. Provided that it's open, we can send around an invitation afterwards. unless there is dissent to scheduling this extra meeting. Thanks.
I'm so happy that everyone is moving and that is for the meeting. Phil, go ahead.
No, Steve's, thanks, Michael. No, Steve's just said what I was going to say. The leadership call is on the Wednesday, so Thursday is actually free. That's what Emily's saying here on the chat.
Oh, thank you, Phil. Sorry, that's right. It's on, so, yeah, so we have an open hour, so I think we'll try to take that. So we'll contact everyone. We'll send out something over the mailing list in regards to having a meeting next Thursday. But that is true joy in my heart about having one. I actually do want to have another one before the end of this month. But thank you, everyone, for today. It is 30 seconds to the hour. And I'm going to leave that there. So please look at... keep an eye on your mailing list, your email inbox, and look for an invite for next week. All right, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining.